WFORadio.com presents NHRA Nitro.
I'm Joe Costello, and this is WFO Radio NHRA Nitro. A weekly look inside the baddest motorsport in the world, NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing.
It's side by side, it's competition, and it's who wins, and then the chair of the crowd.
Join me as we go WFO with the stars of drag racing.
Hey, I'm Bob Tasca.
I'm Tony Schumacher.
Hey, you're with Matt Hagen.
Hey, this is Ron Capps, Matt Hagen's personal friend. You're on WFO.
NHRA track announcer Alan Reinhart stops by each week to break down each race and answer your email questions.
I mean, the Nitro cars put on a tremendous show. They're otherworldly machines. But for people that are really interested in cars, I mean, you wander through the Superstock pits, and if you're wondering why you don't see 69 Camaros running around on the street anymore, it's because they're all out there in the stock and Superstock pits.
Racing fans from around the globe, it's time to go WFO with Joe Costello.
WFO Radio. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another edition of WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro. The Big Go Edition, the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals, 60 years worth. We were on location, and I know what you're thinking. You're like, hey, where's the on-location interviews? Well, the way it all worked out and everything, I was able to get back, and we're going to do the first segment over the phone. We've got Alan Reinhart in the green room waiting. He is queued up, and then we're going to go back to the winner's circle and hear from, get this, Alexis DeJoria, John Paul DeJoria, Tommy DeLago, Richie Crampton, as a bee is swarming around us. We're going to hear from the Lucas Oil Series alcohol class winners, Chris Demke and Jay Payne. We're going to hear from the folks from Chevrolet. We're going to hear from Forrest Lucas. We are going to hear from Lewis Bloom, the stack guy. We got a ton of cool things going on. So get in, sit down, hold on. Don't miss a second of it because we have got a lot planned. We're going to go back to Lucas Oil Raceway. But first, we're going to bring on the voice of the NHRA, Alan Reinhart, to talk about it. Alan, welcome back.
Joe, great to be here.
You are still in Indianapolis.
Yes, I am. I've had some other business to do here, so I stayed for an extra day. But since there wasn't a race this weekend, I've been studying up. I'm all ready for questions.
See, that's why that is one of my favorite things about you, the very, very quick, unexpected wit. Because what you don't know is I have a stack of 30 really brutal questions right here. First
fire.
One.
Fire away. I'm ready.
Oh, boy. Now,
the big tires usually go on the back. That's probably what half your questions are.
Exactly. Well, Alan, let's try to put it into perspective. You've been doing this a long time. I have done one, working in the capacity as an announcer. This was my first one, going from the first car down the racetrack to the last car down the racetrack, the 60th. Wow, what a first one. Of course, we've gone as WFO Radio in the past, but compare this and just give me your general assessment of what we just experienced.
Well, it was a tremendous event. It was a long, grueling, always something going on. Actually, that's not right. It's more like always three things going on. Just jam-packed week of automotive everything. I mean, it was, you were there. What did you think of it? It was your classic, you know, 10 pounds of stuff in an 8-pound bag, and we got it all in. That was it was a tremendous event. I was physically and mentally drained last night by the time the last two cars went down the racetrack. And it's going to take a day or two to fully recover, I believe.
I agree completely, and I know there are people out there that do physical labor for work, and of course we're speaking. But it was nonstop from 8 a.m. to whenever it was over, and sometimes it was 11:30 when we rolled out of there for six straight days, and it was mentally grueling. So I agree. I was wiped out at the conclusion of it, but saw so many fantastic things. And you're right. There were three things going on at once at all times. No matter what you like about drag racing, no matter who you like or what kind of cars, there was something that you could get into at this particular race. I guess let's break it down with we'll quickly touch on the factory stock showdown and the Hemi Challenge. two races that there were tons of cars. There were just tons of cars everywhere. But Charlie Westcott wins the Hemi Challenge. He was very humble winning the race. This is not how I normally win. And he won through driving, and he won again.
The Westcotts have just had so much success in that, but they spend a year preparing for it. You know, it's not like you're going to go to Atlanta and see the Warfish down there racing. It's not like you're going to go to Chicago and see the Warfish there racing. They invest a year into being ready for Indy, and that's why they're so good. That's why they're so strong. That's the only thing they do. They don't take those things out and run them, in regular competition. They polish and perfect everything to go out one event a year and do what they can do. Tremendous. What was there, 28, I believe, Hemi cars that showed up. A couple of them got hurt in qualifying. But round after round, it was fun. I mean, one of the highlights of the Hemi Challenge has become, first, the parade up the return road in front of the stands, and then when they just go park them in the staging lanes and let everybody kind of mill around. I mean, come see our car show. We have 30 68 Hemi cars. And, I mean, it's just, you're standing there looking at probably at least $10 million worth of hardware that guys are going to go out and stand on the gas and run them at 150 miles an hour down a racetrack. It's just awesome.
I was trying to put a dollar value on everything that was on the property, and I couldn't do it because I was just thinking about, like, all right, in this square, we'll call it a mile, whatever it is, just all the equipment that is here, the value of all these things, it was off the charts.
Well, the collector cars are just ridiculous. You know, the new stuff isn't cheap. You know, whether it's a Copa, whether it's a drag pack, whether it's a Cobra Jet. You know, you're not going to go down to your dealer and buy one of those things for, $79.95. It's just such an amazing event. You know, that to get off the Hemi Challenge for a second but stay in the same realm, what do you think of the Copa Parade? I mean,
I'm bummed out.
How many of those were there?
I missed it. I saw it. I was down on the top end getting in position for top end responsibilities, and I saw like the tail end on the television screen, and they cut away. So if there's anything that I missed, it was relayed to me that it was quote unquote bleeping awesome, that the cars looked awesome. That's one thing that I did not get to see, so I was bummed.
Well, if you're a bow tie guy, then it doesn't get any better than that. You know, all of the new stuff, talked about at dinner one night, and I don't think this was an exaggeration. I believe there were more 14 Camaros racing in competition at Indy than there are on the street in Indiana. I mean, I don't believe I've seen 5 or 6 14 model Camaros on the street, but there were a dozen of them that made their debuts there. Dan Fletcher in a 2014 Camaro. Does that sound like words you're supposed to hear in the same sentence? You know, I mean, the Chevrolet guys are very serious about the program. They're very intense about the program, and they won their first national event with a Copo by having two of them race heads up in the final round. Actually, three of the four semifinalists were the new Copo Camaros. It was just such an outstanding event, top to bottom. The whole event was like sharing the wealth. The classic Hemi won the Hemi shootout, obviously, because
yes. That's
all there is. The Ford Cobra Jet won the factory stock showdown.
Chris Holbrook.
And then we put a 14 Copo in the winner's circle for stock eliminator. It was, everybody gets a moment in the spotlight, and certainly not because it was scripted that way, just because that's the way it worked out. But that's the way the whole event worked out.
Yes, and now let's get into the Mellow Yellow Series, because we could literally talk about this, and probably will over the next couple of weeks, different moments, things that I have been erased from my mind right now that you'll remind me of, and vice versa. Just great moments I want to share and talk about. But let's get into the Mellow Yellow Series before we pass out.
Okay. And the one thing about, you said you missed the Copa Parade. The one thing about this event, it was impossible to see everything.
Right.
Impossible. With you know, the Snake and Mongoose movie is showing here, and then we've got, you know, Shirley Muldowney revisiting her greatest moments here. We've got Class Eliminations running while Snake and Mongoose are reliving the Funny Car Final from back in the day. You had to pick and choose and prioritize, so don't feel like, gee, I saw everything but that, because you and I both know there's a bunch of stuff, and it's like, oh, man, I wanted to go see that, and it started an hour ago, but you just couldn't possibly fit it all in. It was one of those kind of events. There was so much stuff going on, and that's why it was so draining. But, let me ask this question
now that you said it, because this thought has crossed my mind, but I do not have the experience to say something like this. You do, although you may not want to say it, especially since this was really, it's yesterday that we're talking about. You might want to think about it and let it settle. But could this have been the greatest drag race of all time, Alan?
Oh, that's way too early to say that. And
four first-time winners, that doesn't normally happen, of the U.S. Nationals, all the history and all these different elements and things. You're mentioning the new factory stock cars and the classic Hemi and the sharing of the wealth and all of these elements. I just, I am blown away by what I just saw, and of course that thought crossed my mind.
I think it'll take some time to digest all that. It was a tremendous race. Saying greatest of all time, it's, you know, I don't know. It's hard to compare things of different eras, you know. It was a tremendous race. I'm very grateful that I was there and got to be a part of it. I'm about 40% sorry that I worked it. There were things that I would have liked to have done that I couldn't experience because I was working. And, you know, you just, again, there was just so much stuff going on. As a fan, you can say, you know what, I'm going to skip this qualifying session because I want to go see the Shirley Muldowney thing. Or I'm going to skip this qualifying session because I want to go be in the tent with Don Garlitz, reliving the 67 thing. The one thing that everybody got to be a part of was the recreation of the shave, because they stopped racing. They did it basically on the track in front of the tower. It was on the big screen the whole time. So that was one thing that everybody got to see, but there was just so much stuff going on. And had I been a ticket-buying spectator, I might have skipped some of the on-track action to go do and see and experience some of these other things. Now, you know, obviously, I've had an opportunity to sit down and talk to Don Garlitz about various things. I've had many opportunities over the years to sit down with Shirley Muldowney and just talk about things in a one-on-one situation. And so, you know, the fact that I missed being there for some of the is maybe takes some of the sting off. You know, had you been a ticket buying spectator, would you have gone into the tent to listen to Snake and Mongoose talk about and relive some of their indie memories? Maybe you would have. But as the employee, you don't have the opportunity to do that, but you did get to do the track walk. You get to talk with both the guys and sit down, so you didn't miss the whole experience. But there was just so much stuff going on, you couldn't do it all. And a spectator got to pick and choose, whereas in my position, I didn't. Now, having said that,
I'm hoping there's video somewhere.
I'm sure there is. But having said that, once it was all said and done, all the press room interviews and all the things, and my professional responsibilities for the day were done, I literally went back and sat in the announcer booth and put my feet up on the chair and went, unbelievable. You know, I just sat here and called, you know, what might have been the closest, most competitive, best Nitro final rounds in Indy history. Me, a heavy equipment mechanic from Arizona. Me. It's like, are you kidding me? What, I mean, just unbelievable good fortune to be in that position and to be able to do that and to be able to experience it from that chair. Would it have been awesome if I'd have been sitting in the grandstands? No question about it. But it was pretty special to be the guy sitting there sharing it with the rest of the world. And, you know, part of the mental and physical wear out throughout the weekend. And, you know, by the way, thank you publicly in front of everybody for bailing me out of it.
Don't thank me. You know, the National Dragster people were, but they signaled me.
I'm sitting there and you know, Shane Gray wins. I lean over to my computer and hit the button for Dave Connolly's file and start talking about how Dave Connolly's done great things. And Joe Costello, who's standing behind me, goes, Dave didn't win. I went, oh, yeah, that's right. Never mind. And it just, you know, is that a mistake that I would make in Houston? I'd like to think not. But after 6 days and late nights and just all of the complete overload, it just, so anyway.
Just like racing, you got to be at your best at the moment that you're at your most tired and exhausted.
Well,
it's very interesting dynamic.
It was one of those events. I mean, and I'm very fortunate that, you know, to be in the position that I was and be, you know, for a guy who grew up literally, you know, I've been going to the drag races since I got in free because kids under 12 could get in free. I started competing a couple of days after I got my driver's license because they wouldn't let you drive anything. We didn't have junior dragsters. And I've been involved in the sport some way, somehow since then. And to be the guy that sits in the chair and announces the funny car and top fuel final at the U.S. Nationals is pretty cool, and especially the way the whole race went.
Absolutely. All right, let's get into it in Top Fuel, where Tony Schumacher was the number one qualifier, something that I was very happy about in another arena. But the bottom line is that Tony goes out there, gets to the semifinal round, and at that point I'm kind of thinking, wow, Tony is kind of marching, storming to his 10th, and that's going to be the history moment that we're all talking about. Tony going on, winning his 10th, doubling up after winning the Traxxas Nitro Shootout for $100,000, and instead, Richie Crampton wins the race. What was that? Was that 0.01?
Mm-hmm.
1/1000th of a second, Richie Crampton, and the Morgan Lucas Geico team. Now they're two in a row. They go to the final round, and it's Crampton and Torrance. Torrance, who had a great car, brand new car, comes out there just storming to the final round, and Richie beats Torrance in the final with a 376.6. And Richie Crampton, the kid who is a rookie and just carries himself so, like, down to earth, wins the race.
Well, two things. One, Richie had a new car also, so there was a whole lot of new pipe that was out there that weekend. But Tony Schumacher never had a chance to win a race. Never had a prayer, never, wasn't going to happen, no way, no how. It has now been a calendar year since the number one qualifier won in Top Fuel.
Wow.
The guys are going to start shutting off. The last number one qualifier in Top Fuel to win the race was Morgan Lucas at Charlotte last year in the fall. So guys are going to now start shutting off and qualifying. There's no doubt in my mind.
Tony had said that to me earlier in the week. I don't want that green hat, man. He said it. I don't want that green hat, man. It was in his head, so it's in their heads about that.
Well, but it's just, you know, it's just the way it is, and it's not like, you know, one guy's been number one qualifier all year long and couldn't do it. You know, it's been Sean, it's been Doug, it's been Antron, it's been, you know, there's been plenty of guys, and you know, but whatever. Right now, there's a big number one qualifier jinx going on. You know, there's only been one Pro Stock number one winner in the last calendar year. You know, Mike Edwards won at Indy last year as the number one qualifier, and then Erica won wherever she won earlier this year in, where was it, Chicago maybe, or anyway. But
Chicago sounds right.
That's the only number one qualifier in Pro Stock that's won this calendar year was Erica, who did it once, and it's been, you know, again, since Vegas, or since Indy last year. But no, the whole professional racing thing was all about share the wealth. Team Schumacher got the Top Fuel Shootout. Team Force got the Funny Car Shootout. Team Coletta got the Funny Car Trophy for the Nationals. Team Lucas got the Top Fuel Trophy for the Nationals. And, you know, nobody wanted to hog anything at the 60th. There was plenty to go around, so I think they just decided to take turns.
Absolutely. Let's talk about that Funny Car final round. I have been waiting. You've said on the microphone many times that this has been a breakout season for Alexis DeJoria. But really now, this is the breakout moment. The two wins leading up to this signature career-making victory, just tremendous. And we've known that Alexis was a talented young lady who was also a big personality, who's got some star power. And then if she could win some races, she could become really big, like the next big thing. A win like this, where she goes up against the greatest drag racer or the winningest drag racer in history and beats him on reaction time and on performance when he is really good after just winning the $100,000 Traxxas Nitro Shootout and wins the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals. That is the thing that dreams are made of.
No question. You know, with her dad there, who obviously is her biggest supporter, and I don't know that I've ever seen anybody outside of the car more excited and more excitable than John Paul DeJoria watching Alexis run that race, win that race. And, you know, every time her scoreboard came on, and, you know, we're talking about a guy who obviously has the resources to do anything that he wants and whose schedule and calendar is so jam-packed. I actually told him, you know, a couple of times during the course of the weekend, it's like, it's an honor for drag racing that he would deem us important enough to make this happen. You know, anybody that doesn't know John Paul DeJoria, just Google him. The guy is a huge businessman. He is tremendously successful, however you want to count it up. You know, has spent his lifetime amassing all that he has accomplished and now giving back and trying to do some good stuff. And, you know, he's so busy that just the fact that he put drag racing in his schedule, yeah, I get it, his daughter competes, but it shows you how big that this particular event is, and then to watch her be able to win it was pretty amazing. You know, her 037 light in the final was amped up, psychic, whatever you want to call it, 403 to 403 for the funny car final. She outruns John by 1,000, so she doesn't get credit for a whole shot, but she basically won because she left on the 16-time champ. And it was just, you know, and there was no backing into this thing. What do we have? 13 funny cars in the 4-0s, I believe. 399 was the pole, but then I think we had the next dozen in the 4-0s. And there just were no ducks. I mean, she beat Cruz. We all know what he's capable of. She beat Courtney. We all know what she's done this year. And then John in the final round. I didn't remember who her first round matchup was, but I should.
First round was Cruz. Second round was Blake Alexander, who took out Jack.
Oh, that's right.
Beckman.
Yeah, Blake, who took down Fast Jack. And but she was just mowing him down. And you know, had the performance. Driver was doing her job. I loved when you talked to the crew chief, Tommy DeLago, on the starting line after the semifinals. And you could hear in his voice, you know, you're going over going, hey, man, great job. You're going to the final. And he's so what? Well, you know, our goal when we left wasn't, hey, let's go to Indy and see if we can get to the final. He was so focused on the mission at hand that had yet to be completed. He was a whole lot more excited after the final, though, wasn't he?
Oh, wait. Well, we got an interview with him on this show where Tommy D shows uncharacteristic excitement. It's going to be great.
But I think it seemed to me that you were a little surprised when you talked to him after the semifinals about the fact that he wasn't more, wow, look at us, we're in the finals in Indy.
I was just making fun of his very calm demeanor, because it was, you're a fan in the grandstands, and you hear him say, yeah, it's all right. I think that's what he said. It's pretty cool, was what he said, or pretty neat. And it was this very calculated statement because of what you are saying. And I was just kind of saying to him, yeah, pretty neat, huh? Yeah, it's all right, you know. And it was because of what you're saying that he had a bigger picture. They had to complete the mission, and they completed the mission.
Yeah, that, you know, the job's not over yet. Nobody goes to Indy and goes, gee, I hope we can make the final. Now, nobody that competes at that caliber, okay? There are certainly cars that go to Indy and go, gee, I hope we can qualify, because, you know, you understand if you don't have the budget of the Schumachers or the Colettas or the Forces or that winning the race is really a pipe dream. But for a smaller team, you know, when Joe and Allen's Top Fuel team starts next year and goes to Indy, if we can qualify, we're going to be high-fiving and having dinner at Elmo's, because, you know, winning the race probably is not within our grasp at that point. But when you're competing at the level that the Coletta teams do, you know, you don't roll in the gate going, gee, I hope we can make it to the final. You roll in the gate going, if we don't leave with the trophy, we have not accomplished what we came here to do. And at that point, having a great day, having a great car, being right in the middle of all the excitement, it's still like, yeah, this is all right, but we're not done yet. We've got to get to work. And, you know, obviously they had the right attitude, obviously they had the right approach, and obviously they had the magic combination to win Indy.
A signature win for Alexis DeJoria, and you will hear Alexis in the winner's circle with John Paul, with Tommy D on this show coming up in our next segment. A signature win, and how about a hats off or a tip of the cap to John Force, a 16-time champ, winning the $100,000 Traxxas Shootout. I got to interview him in the back of the Mellow Yellow Express coming up the return road. I talk about that later on in the show. It was a big moment for me. You're talking about moments for you personally. I'm looking at this guy after having just another great major accomplishment in his career. The fans are shouting down at him. You know, they're loving him. We love you, John. And you can hear their voices, and he's shouting back at them. It was just tremendous. John making it to the final round. This guy just keeps on trucking.
Well, you know, they dominated that event with John Race and Robert in the final, and it was just, it was, you know, Sunday was their day, and Monday they came close, but couldn't quite get there, you know. And just from a competitive standpoint, and again, when you look at, you know, I mentioned how tough it was qualifying in Funny Car, John and Robert have been pretty good this year. I think most people would agree with that. They race in the final of the Traxxas Shootout. Okay, not a big surprise there. They qualify 8 and 9 at Indy and have to race in the first round. Did you see that coming?
No.
I mean, it was just ridiculous, the whole top to bottom. You know, I kept sitting up in the tower going, wouldn't it be neat if this scenario came? Oh, look, there it is. Well, there's no possible way that this could, well, that's what's going to happen too. And it was just one moment after another, and that's part of what made it so special. You know, at one point, I'm sitting, and I'm not in any way, shape, or form beating on my chest, but it was just one of those magical moments. You know, it's kind of like, and I had nothing to do with it, but if you're sitting at home and going, man, we really need a home run, and then the batter hits one over the fence, you go, whoa,
yeah,
I predicted that.
I have done that 100 times, yes.
And but just time after time after time. I mean, the pro stock qualifying thing. Are you kidding me? How do you make that happen? The Top Fuel qualifying, when Antron's not qualified, and then squeaks in by 1/1000th of a second, which gets him a date with Tony Schumacher, which is certainly not going to make for a long Monday. But can you imagine the meeting that would take place if Antron tows that thing back to the trailer, not qualified? And he makes it in by 1/1000 with a lower speed than what Leah Pritchett had. So had he gone in 1/16 of an inch more on the stage, which hurts your ET a little bit, loses 1/1000 and doesn't get into Indy on a tiebreaker, but he gets in by 1/1000. And I know what, you know, was he relieved?
Yeah.
Because he knows at that point his chances, I mean, at least he's got a chance, but he also knows he's going to have to run Tony first round, and everybody knows what Tony's been like at Indy and what Tony's been like all weekend. But at least he's in. Can you imagine dragging that thing back to the trailer? You know, your wife, your kids, your friends, your everybody from the shop is there, and you're going to be a spectator on Monday. That just would have been impossible. But
everything,
just, like I said, it was one of those events. I don't know. We could talk about this for 8 hours, and then you'd never have time for anybody else.
Everything is just magnified, and that's good for the sport of NHRA drag racing, that this event, everything, every run, every qualifying session, the importance of it is magnified. Now, some things that happened, we'll talk about Pro Stock. Earlier in the weekend, they ran the final of the Lucas Oil Nationals. Jason Lyne won Brainerd in Indy.
And he was excited about it. You know, I know that he would have much rather done it in his hometown, but he now has a trophy from Brainerd, and that really was the goal. He's got a spectacular car right now, even though he wasn't able to close the deal at the U.S. Nationals. But right now, he looks like he's got the best car in the field. And, you know, he's confident, he's driving well. You know, obviously anything can happen. We get into the 6 races and the countdown to the championship. But Jason probably would be, if somebody was laying odds, I believe Jason would be the favorite right now. Not, you know, 10-1 over everybody else, but I think that way that car's running right now. I also think that for the rest of Pro Stock, having Greg bumped out of the countdown on the final day is going to be more motivation for that team to make sure that blue car goes out there and just destroys everybody. So that's, you know, and again, a lot can happen, but Jason, the Brainerd win obviously was huge for him. The qualifying number one for Indy was huge for him. Didn't get it done on Monday, but he's still got the best car in the field right now.
Tip of the cap to Greg Anderson and Jonathan Gray. They ended up running each other in first round. The dramatic first round matchup for the countdown, with the countdown on the line, that we all thought would happen as the countdown played out over the years. It happened, and they both wanted it, and they both said that they wanted it, and they were both ready for it, and they didn't shy away from the moment. Jonathan Gray especially, he says, I want to run Greg. Then Greg goes out there and runs a number that puts him right in position to run Jonathan. They race. Jonathan wins. And Jonathan goes on to the semifinal. Takes out Vincent Nobile, Greg's teammates. They had two shots and couldn't stop Jonathan Gray. Jonathan Gray goes 004. Just a great performance by a young driver to vault himself into the countdown.
Yeah, you know, they performed under pressure. And one, I thought it was very interesting that, as you just said, both drivers said, I want control of my own destiny. You know, I don't want to be sitting on the other side of the ladder crossing my fingers going, somebody do this. You know, there's a job to be done, and I'm the guy to do the job. Just one thing for what you just said, though, it wasn't Greg that put himself in the position. It was Alan Johnson. When we're doing the last qualifying session, I mean, I'm literally, and again, it was one of those moments that if you saw it in a movie, you'd go, oh, come on, really? Okay, give me a break. But we're sitting up there, and I'm looking at the qualifying sheet, and then Greg had run, Jonathan had run, Alan Johnson's up, and it's like, well, here's the deal. Alan Johnson needs to run better than 6.611. That will move him, change the ladder, and that will put the Jonathan and Greg Anderson matchup in round number one. And at that point, it'll be set because the rest of the cars are qualified higher. So one car, one run, has to run better than 6.611 in order to make this happen. And Alan Johnson lets a clutch out run 6.610. I'm sitting in the tower going, there's just no way. And all the national dragster guys are the same way because it's they're right across. For those in the Indy tower, they sit right on the other side of a window. It's a different suite, but we're like eye contacting and making hand signals all day long with the national dragster staff. And all four of them are over there just kind of rolling their eyes going, that didn't possibly just happen, did it? And but it was just all part of the, I can't believe this event really happened.
Johnny Gray had three cars out of four in the semis. Dave takes out Jason, and Shane takes out Jonathan. And final round, Dave had a 13 reaction time, but breaks Shane Gray, wins the biggest race of his career by far. We did not catch up with Shane Gray, though. We will have him on next week's show, so we're already booking winners next week as well. But Shane Gray wins the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals in a Camaro in Pro Stock.
And then goes in the press room and tells everybody that they're going to have four of them when we get to Charlotte because Johnny Gray's going to drive one.
Say what?
The three out of four in the semis wasn't enough for them. They want them all.
Awesome.
I believe it was only the third time this year. I'd have to triple check all of that, but it doesn't happen often, that there were no Dodges in the semifinals. There has been a Hemi car in the late rounds at pretty much every race, but when you look at the fact that, you got V Gaines, they don't have the numbers, but they've got V Gaines, they got Jed Coughlin, they got Alan Johnson. It's very rare that we get into the semifinals and there's not a Dodge left standing in Pro Stock. Of course, it was a Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals, so maybe there's a Chevy guy back in the pits that was, sticking voodoo sticking needles in a voodoo elephant or something.
Very possibly. Well, the Chevrolet people, they invested a lot of time, and they did a great job as a title sponsor. Like, they went to extra levels. Chevrolet was everywhere. There was a lot of great branding. And I thought they did a great job. And they got their fair share of winning. But like you said, the wealth was spread among all manufacturers, all brands, all teams. Pro Stock Motorcycle. Alan, the idea that Eddie Krawick had never won the U.S. Nationals, a driver so accomplished, hadn't occurred to me until we were getting down into the late rounds. That is something special. We did not catch up with Eddie. We're going to have Eddie next week. And Jerry Savoie in the final round with countdown implications. That was as entertaining as it gets.
Jerry, the number one qualifier out in Sonoma, came back qualified number two here, basically showing everybody that wasn't a fluke. If Jerry wins the final round, he's in the countdown. Steve Johnson's out. With Eddie Krawick getting it done, Stevie J will start number 10, and maybe he can do something. He's had a very weird season, but he also won Gainesville, and he's had some moments of brilliance. So we'll see how far, how high up he can climb on the ladder in the countdown. But at least he's in it. Being guaranteed that you stand on the stage at the end of the day. And Eddie was very mission-focused for whatever reason. And, you've seen it over and over and over again in all kinds of motorsports. You have two teammates. You have two, in theory, identical bikes. Eddie's was flying this weekend. Andrew's, they just couldn't seem to do anything right with. Andrew qualifies in the middle of the field. The Harleys end up running second round. When does that happen? But Eddie, I don't think there's any question the best motorcycle won the race. and started from the number one spot and went on. It was also the first time this year that Eddie's won from number one. Five number one qualifiers he hadn't won until Indy. So he was pretty happy to get, you know, I mean, it's not a Top Fuel streak by any means, but he was pretty happy to break that number one curse, at least for his team.
A great run in Pro Stock Motorcycle. I spoke with Eddie early in the weekend, and he said a couple of things. It was a premonition. He was on a mission, and he got it done. Great stuff by Eddie Krawick and the Vance and Hines team. Great.
There are a few people that you know have labeled Eddie as cocky, and he actually addressed that when he was in the press room afterwards, and he said, you know, I don't think I am. I don't mean to be. I'm not. He said, but I am confident. I have a very good team. We plan every time we leave the shop to come home with the trophy. Now, you know, do we know that's realistically attainable? Probably not. But we're not, you know, Vance and Hines as a unit has never left the shop and not planned to win the race. He said, you know, I know what my job is. I strive to do it very well. I try to, you know, practice and stay in shape, both physically, mentally, whatever, and to ride the bike to the best of my ability, and I have a very good team behind me, and we should be capable of winning a lot of races. And that's not, I'm the best in the world. That's just, I believe that I am good at my job, and, you know, that's what we came here for. And like I said, some people have labeled him as cocky, but he's just, he's a guy that really is very good at his job. It's a classic case. If Tiger Woods says, I'm the best golfer in the world, is he cocky or is he just stating a fact? You know, if Eddie Krawick says, I believe I'm a pretty good motorcycle driver, is he cocky? I don't think so. I think he's just stating a fact. But, yeah, they definitely came in, you know, like I said, they came in with a single-minded goal and accomplished it.
I think it's good. If he is cocky, I think it's good. Go beat him then. Simple as that. If you don't like Eddie, if he's slightly cocky, I agree, he's confident. He's a Jersey guy. That's the deal. Is in that part of the country, you don't hold anything back. You just say what you think, and you say it with intensity, or you'll be eaten alive by everybody you know. And that's just the way it is. You gotta learn to bust chops and get after, and everybody is getting after each other. It's a very intense place to live. You're from Jersey. And I've had, you know, my parents are from Jersey. I had brief touches with it and understand what it's like. It's a very intense way to grow up. And Eddie is Jersey, as simple as that. Great win by Eddie Krawick. And in Pro Modified, Alan, Ricky Smith. Going to be on the show, by the way, folks. Ricky Smith. Brand new car. Everyone busting out brand new cars and winning.
Well, that's give you an idea how important that event is. You know, if you're going to make an investment, if you're going to do something, you obviously are not ever going to bring out a new anything if you don't firmly believe it's better than your old something. And so if there's ever a time when you need an extra advantage, when you want it, then this is it. And I think that lends credence to how important the event is to those in the industry, to those who live the life. And, you know, if you honestly believe, whether it's a hundredth of a second or a half a second, that this is going to give me some kind of an advantage, you're not going to sit on it until after Indy. Used to be a lot of new cars came out on the West Coast Swing and in Brainerd. Just, you know, you get a couple of runs on them, so you would be comfortable with them by Indy with the technology that's around today and all the, you know, usually you can go someplace, make a couple of test hits and go, man, we're ready to go. This one's better than that one, so let's take it. And again, just a tremendous field. The bump was well down in the 5 second zone. There were 30 some pro mods battling out to get 16 spots in the field. There were some pretty big name regular players that went home early in the weekend. And, you know, turbo cars, blower cars, nitrous cars, head to head all weekend long. And Ricky ends up getting it done with a nitrous car. So it was just, and I didn't get a chance to watch much of it because of my other responsibilities and things. I didn't get a chance to see a whole lot of the pro mod on track action. But, you know, kept hearing you and Brian going, oh, look at that. And look at it. It's like, wow, again. But it was that kind of weekend. You know, it was every moment was a can you top this?
It really,
yep, now
it really
can
was.
You top this?
The run of the day, though, I think, I just glancing at the ladder, and I glanced at the ladder for force and unscientifically calculated that his final round run would have beat every other run throughout the day except for that one run against Alexis. So she had, you know, the right run at the right time to beat the 16-time champ. Troy Coughlin and Ricky Smith in the semifinals. Two racers right there, been racing against each other and with each other for a long time. They played the classic starting line games that everybody wants to see a little bit of a burn down, no one going in, like playing with each other's minds about the starting line procedure. And I loved it, and we talked to Ricky about it. He goes into why, and it's because they know each other and they're friends, and there's a great respect there, and they can do that to each other. They both run 589s, slight hole shot for Ricky Smith, a 58 to a 66. He runs an 89.8 to an 89.3 and wins the race. It just doesn't get closer than that.
No, that's pretty spectacular, and I have to admit, I didn't see it. I heard about it after the fact. That was one of the times when I was down in the CV truck taking care of the Lucas Oil show for the alcohol racers. That's going to be coming out of Indy, should air next weekend on ESPN2. So, you know, I don't want to comment on something I can't see. I heard a lot of stories about it, and, you know, a great side-by-side race is the end result. I'll take starting line games all day long, as long as we know it's not going to rain in the next 10 minutes.
It was moderate. It wasn't anything abrasive or anything. It was just like you knew there was a little something extra, but then they got in there when it was time to get in there. Alan, great job as usual. We're going to have Demke. We're going to have Jay Payne on this show. So we'll be talking about the Lucas Oil Series alcohol cars that you were calling, and folks should be setting their DVR for the Pro Mod race. Of course, they've got that show on Velocity during the off season, so we'll be able to go back and relive this as well. And there's going to be a lot of reliving of this event even next week. I'm sure there'll be some things that we didn't talk about this week that we'll get to talk about next week.
I look forward to that. Yeah, there was a ton of stuff going on, and we could go class by class and just relive things forever. But we'll hang on to that for the next week or so, since. You know, geez, does that mean we won't have time for questions next week?
Well, no, you asked earlier. I'm going to pull the audio of you saying, break out the questions, and we're going to get everybody to send in questions. You know, I ran into a lot of WFO listeners out there at different times, and they love the questions. But they say, why does he call it Stump the Dummy when he gets everything right, was the one comment from, I think it was Harv, one of our listeners out there. And they just love the fact that you take the time to answer the questions. They get the humor. You don't want to answer the questions, but they love the fact that they had the access to do it. So next week, I would imagine, since I had personal contact with all these people, they're going to send a ton of questions, Alan.
Fire away. I'll see what I can do. If, you know, as long as it's not the Mellow Yellow Challenge, because that's going to be tough to do over the phone.
The three-bottle shuffle, definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
Alan, great job as usual. Thank you very much. It was a honor and a privilege to call the 60th Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals with you and Brian Loans. It was great stuff.
Thanks, Joe. Look forward to the next one.
Thanks, Alan. The NHRA's Alan Reinhart joining us each week right here on WFO Radio. If you're a new listener, we would like to welcome you. This is WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro. We were on location at the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals, and you're going to hear the winners in the winner's circle immediately after their victory. Alexis, her dad John Paul, Tommy DeLago. We're going to hear from Richie Crampton. We're going to hear from Forrest Lucas. Lewis Bloom, the stat guy. We're going to hear from alcohol winners, Jay Payne and Chris Demke. A lot of cool stuff went on in the winner's circle. Basically, what was happening is everyone was clearing out. They live there. It's very different. Indiana, they live there. So it's not like they're going back to a hotel. They're going to have a house party or something, or go home and pass out in their bed. And so everyone was clearing out. So I'm running around after all my work responsibilities, trying to run down these interviews. Shane Gray and Eddie Krawick escaped. But we're going to have them next week. I've already communicated with both drivers. We're going to get them on the phone next week. But it was a spectacular experience. We've got the on-location audio coming up next. You are really going to enjoy it, I think. In the meantime, I want to remind you that the folks at Redline Synthetic Oil, Redline Oil, are the ones that sponsored our programming from the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals. Very fitting that their Nitro Funny Car with Coletta Motorsports, Alexis, was able to win. They had great success also in Pro Modified. Now, whatever your street car or race car, Redline has got a product for you. Motor oils, gear oils, even water wetter for your cooling system. I've got water wetter in my 78 Trans Am bracket car. We just went through the whole cooling system. Water wetter was mandatory. Check it out. You can go to redlineoil.com or like their Facebook page. They've got a really cool Facebook page. Some shots from the U.S. Nationals. Also, click the banner ad on WFOradio.com to find out more. Folks at Redline Oil, 3 years running now, have sent us to the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals. We certainly thank them. Everything you heard in the archive, you can go back and relive it. Thanks to the folks at Redline Oil. We'll be back with the On Location audio. Remember to send your questions for Reinhardt next week. And a big thanks. And it was great meeting all the WFO radio listeners out there. It was exhausting. You can probably tell. I just got in, dropped my bag, called Reinhardt. Here we are. It's wild how it's going down. The race is still not over yet. But again, thanks to all the WFO radio listeners who stopped me. Just tremendous. We'll be back after this with the On Location audio from the winner's circle at Indy.
This is WFO Radio. Get ready for takeoff, race fans. The NHRA Carolina Nationals are back at CMAX Dragway, September 12th to the 14th. There will be no speed limits. These road rockets fly down CMAX Dragway at 330 miles per hour. All the superstars. Watch Forrest Brown and Schumacher push the outer limits of speed. Best of all, kids are free and every ticket is a pit pass. Call 1-800-455-FANS. The NHRA Carolina Nationals, September 12th to the 14th, only at CMAX Dragway.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's the newest funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. 480-7223 or visit frankhawley.com.
Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
It's just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open, and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist.
I don't know where Greg Anderson's ego is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO.
Hey, everybody. The summer is here, and that means it's time to grill. Remember just a couple of months ago when you were freezing and you were thinking, I can't wait until I can get out there and grill something. Well, now you can, and if you're going to do it, you got to do it with the most awesome barbecue rubs going. Check out RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Marvin Rodak, a big NHRA fan and WFO radio listener, has award-winning spice rubs that you can order online or by phone. Go to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com, 817-924-6821. I just tried two new hot sauces that he's got going. The perfect condiment if you're grilling out this summer. Also, coffee in the morning. Marvin roasts his own blends. You got to try them out. RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Or if you want to kick it old school, pick up the phone. Dial 817-924-6821. Say, hey, Marvin, I heard about you on WFO. I want you to send me some coffee and barbecue rub, maybe some hot sauce, and it'll show up in the mail. That's 817-924-6821 for RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com.
Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
WFO Radio from the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals. The race is in the books. And we are on location at Lucas Oil Raceway. Our great friends at Redline Synthetic Oil have sent us to the location to get the winners' interviews. We're actually out here, folks, for the duration of the event. And if you did not hear our WFO radio programming, check the archive. It is spectacular. But right now, we're going to hear the winners at the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals. You know, it was the 60th anniversary of this race. And we had four first-time winners. Count them. Four. Richie Crampton in Top Fuel won his first big go over Steve Torrance. In Funny Car, Alexis DeJoria. The Tequila Patron Exo Cafe Machine beats John Force in the final round. In Pro Stock, Shane Gray beats his teammate Dave Connolly in the Pro Stock final for his first U.S. Nationals win. And in Pro Stock Motorcycle, the Screaming Eagle Vanson Hines Pro Stock Motorcycle Harley Davidson of Eddie Krawick was victorious. We're going to hear from the winners, crew chiefs, whoever runs by, really, as we fill out this tremendous event with this edition of WFO Radio NHRA Nitro. It's going to be great. Stick around on WFO Radio. Here with the crew chief of the Patron XO Cafe, Toyota Camry, Tommy DeLago. Kind of, it might be, you know, maybe kind of cool to win the U.S. Nationals. Congratulations.
Well, I said that before this, you know, final, but, you know, we're just trying to be, not get too excited because, you know, I've been here for 21 years, never won, made it to one final, luckily, didn't win, but the final don't matter, so you don't want to jinx it. So guess what now? I'm excited. It hasn't even sunk in yet, and it's like, oh, am I still alive? I mean, is this real? It's just a really surreal feeling, and just so proud of all my guys that work on this car. Glenn Huser, Andy Sedwinski, and I just told Jimmo, I don't know, probably for the fifth time, and Connie, that I just appreciate the opportunity that they've given me here on this organization. And, you know, felt really bad last year when we weren't able to really get a handle on it fast enough, but we haven't made up for last year yet, but this year is getting close.
First woman to win three funny car races in a season. That was a stat. The stat guy just dropped on me. I didn't know that. There was a bunch of them. They rattled off. Alexis is emerging as a star and running John Force in the final round at the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals, the 60th year of the race, beating him in a great race, identical ETs. That is... that's what star power is. That's why people remember people. Tell me about your driver. Give me your thoughts and opinions. You've had championships before, but give me your thoughts about what makes a Lexus tick.
Well, you know, obviously, I'm getting to know her better and better every race, every year. And, you know, the one thing I do see with her is that she still hasn't reached her potential of how good she can be. And she's going through still things that happen until you get more experience, but she's ahead of schedule of where we would expect her to be, and it's just a breath of fresh air. I mean, they could have got rid of us all after last year, and they wanted to, you know, she wanted to, everybody at Patron wanted to stick by us and at Coletta's, and I gotta have a lot of respect for people that believe in you when and you didn't really prove anything that first year, and to stick with us and just to work as hard as you can on her driving. And, you know, sometimes every driver, I don't care how long you've done this, you go through times when you go through a rut and you're just not there and you don't have your best. And, well, I'll tell you what, today in Indy, she had it when she needed it, and she was at her best.
And the win for Conrad. Second time, Connie Coletta, win in the U.S. Nationals. You're responsible for that. This guy, everybody loves him because he has done so much for the sport. And this is one that has... in a way, eluded him, and his most recent Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals win is because of the funny car, you crew chief.
Well, I don't know if I'd look at it like that. You know, it's eluded all of us, and I don't think the win is any result directly with me. I still think it's a team effort. We have a lot of great guys at Coletta Motorsports, and obviously it starts at the top with Connie. And just him being him, and he can be demanding it sometimes, but there's other times where he's like believes in you and just lets you run with it. And right now, he's happy. And but it was kind of funny. He was happy for a second, and then he was asked me like, okay, so what are we gonna do for the rest of the year? What's our next plan? So, you know, he's like us. He's now looking at, like, what can we do to, you know, vie for being competitive in this chase. But we'll be happy today.
Tommy D, go celebrate.
Oh, you know I will. Drink hard.
We are here with the funny car winner of the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals, beating John Force in the final round, Alexis DeJoria. Alexis, how do you feel right now?
Oh, man. Beyond excited. I'm just like, I'm almost at a loss for words now. I just can't believe it. Now that everything's starting to die down, I think it's starting to hit me. And, you know, I said I wasn't going to cry. And in the winner's circle with my dad, it was just a... You know, we've been through a lot, this team, you know, a lot of ups and downs, and worked really hard to get to this point. Some of the guys I have on my team right now came with me from the top alcohol days, so that's really incredible to be able to share the winner's circle with those guys. Best group of guys on the team and my crew chiefs and, you know, and all the help Dell's done, you know, with me being a new driver. And, you know, I just I feel so grateful to be a part of this huge family right now, and to win the 60th anniversary. This is never going to happen again. So that's making history right now.
Alexis, you started out in the sportsman classes, running in Super Comp, and then, of course, running an alcohol funny car. We all remember you coming up through the ranks, and then and now a nitro funny car. Talk to your dad on the starting line. He was, first of all, it was a great commercial for NHRA. It was awesome. Like, he was just talking. Of course, we watch him on CNBC, and we know he's been successful. But he made a big point, and he's actually walking in right now, about you willing to work yourself at extreme levels to make things happen. It's not something that you're content with just letting happen, but you made this happen.
No, that's the way I was raised. That's the way my dad raised me, and that's the way he was raised. So it's hard work pays off, and you know what? When you work that hard for what you want, and then you become successful, it feels that much better because you know how hard it was to get there and how incredibly amazing it is to win at this level, you know, and to win at this race. This is the one of the races that everybody wants to win, you know, more than anything. So to do it today with my family here, part of this amazing team, and it's just incredible.
And yet, we are about to enter the countdown. You have won three races this year. It is a breakout season. You've won the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals, and this little gold man isn't going anywhere. Your team is clicking right now. You're feeling it. You're feeling confidence. It's championship time now. And I know there's more experience to gain, but this is the time. You can do this. Give me your thoughts about the 2014 countdown.
Oh, man, you know, it's just great to be a part of it. We've always been on the outside looking in, so, you know, it's just a matter of time. We've got a great team, like I said, and Tommy and Glenn really got this car turned around, and they've got it handled, and we're getting down the track consistently. We're going rounds, and we're winning races. So just to be in the countdown is incredibly good. So whatever happens, happens. I just got to enjoy the ride.
Alexis, thank you very much. Congratulations on your U.S. Nationals win.
Yeah.
Rock and roll. Thanks, Alexis.
Thank you.
John Paul DeJoria with me here on location at the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals. Well, John, we had a conversation on the starting line early in the day. I think you had a premonition at that time. Give me your thoughts. What were you feeling? You said you felt like it was going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
It happened.
Everybody in their life has their day that comes, and I just felt this was Alexis's day that came, and it had to be the U.S. Nationals, the greatest race of the year. I felt the energy. I felt the vibe. I felt the frequency. She felt really good about it, and in my mind, by God, with the creator of souls and her, she's just going to make it, you know, and she did. And what was really wonderful that makes it just perfect for the National Hot Rod Association is she didn't win because somebody hit a red light. She didn't win because anyone's car blew up. They race. Two great racers race. The world champion likes to race against one another, and she just happened to win. Two champions winning, and that's what it's all about. I'm totally exhilarated. I feel higher today and right now than I did on the steps of the Supreme Court when I was awarded the Horatio Alger Award, the only award given to the Supreme Court of the United States. And I feel higher today than you could ever imagine. No drug could ever top this high.
The details of the win are so tremendous.
Yeah.
Running John Force in the final round.
That's
it,
right.
Couldn't have been another person to make it better.
No.
Having a better reaction time. Outrunning him. No level was Alexis defeated. She went out. She had something. She won it. And on a most significant event, the 60th Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals. Not the 59th and not the 61st.
Yeah, the 60th.
What do you think's going on here? And this is something that could carry the sport into the future.
And it will carry the sport in the future. Let's people know that, yeah, there's great racers like John Ford. It's one of the greatest racers in all history. But there are people with a Lexus that works her way up from Super Comp all the way up, worked really, really hard to win something in every category. And then she does, and she's out there knowing that I've got a chance to do it, and by God, I'm going to do it. There was no doubt in my mind. And let's the sport know in the future, it's open to anybody that really wants to try and just give it their very, very best. And if you stick with it, you will eventually win. In the end, everything will be okay. And if it's not okay, it's not the end. So for Lexus, the challenges yet on this race, the one little mechanical problem, the second mechanical problem, the thing catching on fire, whatever, she overcame them all. And in the end, everything was okay. She won the U.S. Nationals.
What's so funny is the fire was erased from my memory until you mentioned she had a big fire today.
Yeah, she had a fire going down the track there. It caught on fire there. And she saw right through the fire. And there was smoke in her eyes, but she went to the end and finished and got out of the car and walked off to the side.
You gave the best promo for NHRA I think maybe I've ever heard. I see you on CNBC. I watch when they come on and ask your opinions about what's going on in the boardrooms across the country. What do you see out here? Obviously, you're making an investment. You're out here not an investment in money, an investment in your life, a greater investment, your time. Your daughter is here. What do you think about the trajectory of this sport?
Family values. You come out here, if you look around us, there's little kids, middle-sized kids, big kids, senior-wise people, like, you know, older people like me. There's everybody. It's a family sport. And a lot of people aren't aware of national drag racing here is a family sport. Most people don't know that. You know, a lot of us do, and of course we stick by it, but by gosh, I think the more people that know about it, we're going to put our win all over the place with the Patron Network, the Paul Mitchell Network, the John Paul Pett Network, the Rock Mobile Network, everywhere, to let people know it is a family sport. It's a darn good one, and we're proud, and we're exhilarated, and we're happy. There's nothing like this feeling on the planet.
John Paul, go celebrate. Thank you very much for taking the time for WFO Radio.
You betcha. All right. Go radio.
Motorsports artist and legend Kenny Youngblood with me, and just one of the people you see hanging at the Winter Circle at the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals. Can you believe what you just saw?
Incredible. I came back here, wanted to do two things, do a good job for Toyota, sent me back here, and I was hoping Lexus Arroyo would win, and she did, and in a whip fashion. But the 60th Indy, just fantastic, and all the history here. I came here first in 1969, got to spend time with Eddie Ace and Roland, a lot of people, Snake up here, just fantastic, and I wish all the fans could be here.
Thank you, Kenny. We'll be back with more WFO Radio, presented by Redline Synthetic Oil, from the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals. More to come.
This is WFO Radio.
Redline Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found in Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials. Known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer, or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the street. That's Redline Oil.
Get ready for takeoff, race fans. The NHRA Carolina Nationals are back at CMAX Dragway September 12th to the 14th. There will be no speed limits. These road rockets fly down CMAX Dragway at 330 miles per hour. All the superstars. Watch Forrest, Brown, and Schumacher push the outer limits of speed. Best of all, kids are free and every ticket is a pit pass. Call 1-800-455-FANS. The NHRA Carolina Nationals September 12th to the 14th. Only at CMAX Dragway.
Android and iPhone users, download the WFO Radio app. It's sports radio for racing fans.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
The ultimate racing show, including WFO Radio NHRA Nitro, WFO Radio Ignition, the WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party, news, videos, push notifications, and more.
I just hope I'm part of it.
Go to the App Store or Android Market, search WFO Radio, and download it now.
Hey everybody, the summer is here, and that means it's time to grill. Remember just a couple of months ago when you were freezing and you were thinking, I can't wait until I can get out there and grill something? Well, now you can, and if you're going to do it, you got to do it with the most awesome barbecue rubs going. Check out RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Marvin Rodak, a big NHRA fan and WFO radio listener, has award-winning spice rubs that you can order online or by phone. Go to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com, 817-924-6821. I just tried two new hot sauces that he's got going. The perfect condiment if you're grilling out this summer. Also, coffee in the morning. Marvin roasts his own blends. You got to try them out. RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Or if you want to kick it old school, pick up the phone, dial 817-924-6821. Say, hey, Marvin, I heard about you on WFO. I want you to send me some coffee and barbecue rub, maybe some hot sauce, and it'll show up in the mail. That's 817-924-6821 for RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com.
Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
WFO Radio here with the top fuel winner at the 60th ever Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals. Richie Crampton is with me. Richie, how does that sound to you?
Sounds pretty good, man. It doesn't seem real yet, of course, but man, what a race car Aaron Brooks and this Geico team gave me this weekend. It was just so much fun to drive. Peeling off 370s like it was nothing, and we needed to do that. The crowd was so, the field was so tough here, as always in the Mellow Yellow Series. But man, just so stoked to get that win for my guys and for Geico and Lucas Oil.
The emotions of the weekend. You mentioned making the final round of the Traxxas Nitro Shootout, and we had a just accidental golf cart ride bringing you back from a run, and you were talking about, you know, I think we got it. Like, I you had this feeling it didn't work out in the final round of the Traxxas Nitro Shootout, but there was a bigger plan for you.
Yeah, absolutely. So that being a brand new race car we bought out and made a few runs in testing before this race, you know, we were sneaking up on it. You know, we didn't get around Schumacher for that Traxxas trophy, but, you know, we're still in qualifying and kind of test mode for today. So obviously it paid dividends, and Aaron Brooks and the team, man, I just can't say enough about how well they got this hot rod running.
A couple of weeks ago, you were in the winner's circle. We spoke with you about Morgan's win, and you were there, and you were a part of it. And in the first round, you kind of had a bummer loss, but it didn't faze you. And that's what I want to know about. You've been working with the team for a while. You were a crew guy, kind of picked out, mentioned how you were a little surprised to get the opportunity, but you got the opportunity. And a tough loss like that could shake some people. It could damage their confidence or maybe get them thinking about other things that they shouldn't be thinking about. Clearly not you. You came out here and had a bee that is very scary landing on both of us. Oh, let's move. He's on you. He likes the yellow of the Mellow Yellow. We're just going to act natural and hope he goes away. See, run for your life, Richie. Run. It's a run. Let's get rid of this bee. Get out of here, bee. Get out of here. I beat him. Richie, I saved your life, man. The bee is gone.
I owe you.
But... yeah, your confidence.
Yeah, you know, and that's all. I work for the best team out here, and I've got some of the best guidance from Morgan Lucas, you know, is trying to help me learn how to be a better driver. And the pressure that he does not put on me is what makes situations like that easy. You know, yeah, I got beat on a hole shot up there in Brainerd, and, you know, I was able to get Steve-O back here in the final, of course, but... you know, like I said, I just work for a fantastic organization, and there's just so many positives behind me that don't tend to weigh me down too much when I make a rookie mistake like I did in Brainerd.
What about the countdown? If this rookie can win the U.S. Nationals, can this rookie win the countdown?
You know, it seems crazy for a rookie like myself to even talk about winning a championship, but we all know the caliber of this team, and we know that Geico, Lucas Oil, Toyota give us all the tools to go out here and contend for this championship, so... you know, definitely not out of the question. So we're going to be hammered down, and can't wait to get to Charlotte and keep this ball rolling.
The B is back, baby. Go celebrate.
Thanks, Joe. See you, man.
Here with Forrest Lucas, second race in a row. Your team ends up on WFO Radio. Lucas Oil Raceway, the Geico Dragster wins. Richie Crampton this time. Lucas Oil Racing is two for two now.
Well, it's about time. It's been a long time since we've been 2-for-2, but it's a really good feeling, especially winning Indianapolis. Like, this is the biggie. All 16 cars out there were equal. Any one of them could have won. That doesn't happen normally in a normal race. You always got some little guys and some big guys. They were all big guys this time. We were the biggest of them all.
And things are clicking now. What is happening with the team? And Morgan talked to us last week about how you are demanding but loving at the same time. Whatever you're doing, it's clicking right now at just the right time.
That's it right there. We've always had the parts. We just never had the talent to really put it all together. And we finally have, and it's taken a couple of years with our crew chief now, but he's got it, and we put the pressure on him. Hey, you know, you gotta get it right or we're getting out. And so he's put it together. He got it all sorted out. And that's all it took. You know, we had everything else. You know, you're always gonna have some little problem. Like Morgan, the first time he went out today, when he should have been the guy running against him for the win, somebody made one little teeny tiny screw up on a dial, and it cost him the first round. So that's how easy it is. You got all these parts that are right on the razor's edge. The drivers have to be good. They're all good drivers. We brought this thing up to where it's kind of like sportsman racing, where everybody's right there, so close together. And that's what we become up here. But it's taking a lot of money, a lot of talent, but now we're at the top of the heap and hope we can stay up there.
Do it in your home area of Indianapolis, where the Lucas Oil name is so well known that Morgan Lucas Racing wins the U.S. Nationals. That just has to be unbelievably special.
Well, it is, and it's business-wise, you know, this is all about selling oil in the long run. And this race, you know, the results of this will go all over the world. This is the biggest race in the world as far as drag racing goes, and bigger than just about any race, to tell you the truth. So it's big for us because we sell all over the world. So it is a big deal, you know. In a way, it's bigger because football doesn't go as many places as this race right here does.
Absolutely, and every car needs some oil. Forrest, thank you very much. Congratulations. You've been on my show a couple weeks in a row. I'm getting used to it, talking to you and hearing the positive outlook. I appreciate it. Good luck in the countdown, the next phase of this project, the championship, the six-race sprint to the championship. You got a really good blocker. You got a really good driver in the countdown.
All right, man. Thanks a million. Appreciate it. I hope you get tired of seeing me.
Never happened.
Thanks.
WFO Radio from the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals here with Craig Shantz, who is the manager of performance vehicles and motorsports for Chevrolet Performance and was also driving me down the track walk in the ZL1 Camaro convertible with Snake and Mongoose. What a tremendous event you guys put on here this weekend.
Well, thank you very much. And I tell you what, it's an honor. I came to this race growing up for years and years, and just to be able to come back here now and be a part of promoting the event and working with NHRA has been a tremendous experience for me.
The first Copo Camaro win, the first funny car body win, and alcohol funny car. So many stats, so many different highlights and elements. The volume, just the volume of Camaros, Copo Camaros, and General Chevrolets here. Give me a summary of how you think it went. We didn't lose a day into rain for the first time in a long time. This just feels like an event that will stand up over time.
Well, I think so. We're really excited. This has been a great weekend for us. With the Pro Stock win, we had 7 Copo class winners, plus the overall. And as you said, the first funny car body. That's awesome for us. You know, we started out building 69 Copos a year 3 years ago. We built 69. Last year, we built another 69. This year is the third year. And the first year, at 3 years ago, we only had 6 Copos here. Last year we had 22, and this year we had 35. So, you know, the teams all get together. There's a lot of camaraderie. They work together. They share tips, and it's been great for Chevrolet.
The cars that are coming out of Chevrolet right now, everyone's talking about the C7 Corvette, and I know we don't see it drag racing. It's more of a road course car or just a buy-it-and-enjoy-it kind of car. But the new Impala, getting this Consumer Reports, I know you're a performance guy, but still, like things, the bar seems to be going up exponentially. And then the Camaro program, the Copo Camaros, the Z28 for road course guys. What's going on over there that all of a sudden, maybe not all of a sudden, but intensely recently, performance is a major factor.
Well, performance has been a major factor over the years. And, you know, as we've been introducing new models, particularly like the Camaro, you know, we started off with the coupe, and then we introduced the next year the convertible, and we keep stepping it up. And then we have the SS the ZL1 and now the Z28. The Z06 Corvette is coming out next year, and they just announced the price. It's going to be about $78,000, $79,000 base price, and those will be available first quarter of next year. So we just got a lot of excitement coming, and it's intentional, and we just want to keep it up. The other thing that we've done this year for NHRA drag racing is we stepped up, and we are the official truck of NHRA, and we're very excited about that. You know, a lot of these people, the racers, they've got to get their car to the track, and they use a truck to tow it, and we want to be part of that, as well as the safety safari, which we think is an extremely important has an extremely important place in NHRA drag racing.
And the safety safari, they go right on the stage in front of everybody at critical moments, and those Silverados are absolutely gorgeous. So Don the Snake was like working it this morning for a ZL1 Camaro. Did you hear that? He's like, yeah, they're giving us these Camaros. You were driving. I don't know if you could hear the snake while you were concentrating, but it was pretty funny to hear the snake. He was in love with the Camaro.
No, I could hear him. He was making sure I could hear him. But, you know, what a couple of great guys, Tom and Don. And they're just so awesome. And they go back and forth all day long. And then Linda Vaughn gets involved, and he's poking at me all the time about, giving him a Corvette. But just great, awesome guys. And we just love to be affiliated with them.
Craig, thank you very much for everything you have done with this event. Congratulations on a tremendous event, one that I think will be remembered for a long, long time. Congratulations, and thank you for coming on WFO Radio.
Well, thank you very much, Joe. It's a real pleasure.
WFO Radio on location, Lucas Oil Raceway, caught up with the stat guy, Lewis Bloom. We spoke earlier in the week. We made time for this. Great to see you. Well, what are your impressions of this drag race?
It was very unpredictable. I thought Schumacher, for sure, his car was running great, was going to waltz his way to win number 10, but it didn't happen. Richie Crampton, Alexis DeJoria, Shane Gray, Eddie Krawick. Hard to believe Eddie Krawick has never won the U.S. Nationals first time. Everybody a first-time winner. First time that's happened at Indy since 2000, when Tony Schumacher won his first race, Jack Coughlin won his first race here, Jim Epler, and Antoine Brown in the bike class.
Wow. So it had happened before, though. That's a great stat. You should get a job doing that.
I think I'm going to work on that stat guy gig. People always ask me new stats, like when was the last time a rookie driver won in Top Fuel at Indy? And I kind of think it was Larry Dixon in 95, but I haven't really looked at the records yet. But I'm pretty sure LD, as we say, is the last guy to do that.
How about that first round run? Pedal fest, on and off the throttle like six or seven times.
Larry's got some experience. He knows how to get it done. It was a really exciting race. You know, I'm a fan of the sportsman stuff, so watching two Copo Camaros in the final of stock, that made my weekend. Bruno Massa getting the win, the first win for the new Chevrolet factory race car. I think that's a big deal in the sport. It's going to really have a lot of legs. But, you know, Indy was great. Got out on Monday. You know, that's really the most important thing. The weather was horrible. You know, a lot of chance for rain here. So I'm very happy about that. And it's a good time, you know.
First time in a long time we didn't lose a day to rain.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We had a couple of breaks there, but... You know, what was really amazing is how the crew chiefs adapted to the racetrack. It was cool. It was, you know, overcast and it got hot. And, you know, Lucas Racing going back-to-back with Morgan winning at Brainerd. And, of course, Richie winning here was pretty exciting. And, you know, Alexis taking out John Force. Anytime you race John Force in a final round and you can beat him, that doesn't happen too often. And, you know, when you think about the fact that the last time a woman in Nitro won three races in a single season was 24 years ago by Lori Johns, it's been a while. And she's the first female funny car racer to win three races in a single season. Never happened before. And women have done well here at the Big Go. Ashley Force Hood and now Alexis DeJoria have got their name in the record books.
Wow. I want you to work with me on just a thought that I'm having. We're here celebrating tradition in the past, the history, the garlic shaving moment. For those that hopefully saw it, it was very emotional. I couldn't even hear the audio, and it was emotional. I wasn't there the first time. It was emotional. But what I'm thinking, Lewis, is that 60 years, a lot of the guys from the past are getting older, and at this race, the 60th, we see four young, fresh faces that I would imagine, hopefully, will carry the sport into the future for at least the next 10, 15 years. What do you think about that? a changing of the guard or a passing of the baton moment as Alexis runs John in the final round? Are you feeling that at all?
Well, it's hard to really count out John Force, especially as crew chief Jimmy Prock, because ultimately with the Nitro cars, I really believe it comes down to the tuner as much the driver, even more maybe. So it definitely is on its way, but, you know, drag racing is a weird thing to figure out sometimes, because when you think it's kind of going ahead that way, it kind of steps back and you see the typical folks winning. But, you know, I'd like to see it. I mean, the sport needs to grow and needs to evolve. And, you know, think about, for me, like Aaron Stanfield. I mean, that's really what this is about. Aaron Stanfield, 19 years old, gets to race a pro stock car, his first race ever at a national event, and Jed Coughlin fouls against him, one of the great racers of all time. And Aaron gets his first round win at the Big O. Like, seeing that happen, Blake Alexander getting a round win, a guy who was really young. So there's the future, and we need more of that. We need more of that every day when we go to a national event.
Personal highlight of the weekend.
Personal highlight of the weekend. Not getting yelled at by my boss is always a good one. But I probably have to say the fact that, you know, Eddie Krawick, you know, someone I've known, you know, Eddie used to work at Englishtown where I come from. He was the track manager. I used to announce him when he bracket raced the F&K modified Camaro, which was, you know, you can't even imagine what that looked like. But seeing Eddie win Indy for the first time, his resume complete. He's won the championship. He's won a specialty race. He's won Indy. He's won at Englishtown, too, his home track, his real home track on tour. Seeing that was great. But, you know, I got to go back to the Copos. I mean, I love that stuff. I mean, to me, that is where, you know, get the factories involved, make them want to come to the drag races, make them spend money, you know, the new cars. And, oh, actually, I'll tell you what the real highlight was. I talked to Don Garlitz for about 20 minutes on Friday about the first 200-mile-per-hour run, which we celebrated this past August at Island Dragway 50 years ago. And Bob Fry kind of keyed me off to something with some of the old papers, which we talked about, is the fact that Garlitz actually ran 200 twice before that, which nobody really knows. He went to Island, ran 200. Then he went to Detroit Dragway, ran 200. And then NHRA brought the official timing clocks to Island the third week in a row, and he ran 200 there, and that's why it became the first official 200. But this is what I love about Garlitz. He told me the 200 was great, but he lost the match race to Norm Weekly in the Frantic Four car, and he was still mad about that. 50 years later, gets the 200, which, you know, the Greek says he was the first. Connie Coletta says he was the first here at Indy, actually, 50 years ago. But, you know, Don's the official recognized guy, and he was still mad about losing a match race. And that was the moment of the weekend, talking to Big Daddy over at his trailer, spending time with him, you know, crowd gathered, you know, we were kind of holding court. And, you know, it's like talking to Babe Ruth. You know, if you're a baseball fan, if you could talk to Babe Ruth, that'd be amazing. Well, Don Garlitz is Babe Ruth.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I had a couple of weird ones like that myself, but that's pretty amazing. Don Garlitz. The guy looks great, by the way. I'm getting a bike. Because this guy, Big Daddy, how you look so good? He's like, I ride a bicycle. I bought a bicycle. Like, what are you, like a Harley? No, a bicycle. He's riding it.
I actually have one of Mike Dunn's old carbon fiber road bikes, which is, you know, like, you know, really trick, and I ride that. But, you know, Big Daddy, I mean, his spirit, his energy, you know, going for the 200 with the electric dragster. And he said he's going to bring back the drag pack cars because he really likes them. He's going to start racing them again, especially the V8 one. He has a V10 one, too. He says, I really like that little V8 white car. I'm going to race that and try to do some damage in stock eliminator.
Lewis, thanks for taking the time for WFO Radio. What a great week. I'm happy it's almost over for me. It's over for everybody. This is my first from first run to last run U.S. Nationals, something I'll remember forever. Thanks for coming on the show.
Anytime, Joe. It's a pleasure. Nice job this week. And I got to announce Super Gas at the Big O. I was thrilled. I appreciate that.
I thought you were going to say that was your personal highlight.
Now, I thought that, you know, when I, you know, thinking about it right now, I'd go with Garlitz number one, that conversation. That
how far did you run? This guy comes into the tower. He's 992.
Yeah, I pretty much ran from behind the archway, and I knew there was like three pairs left, and I just wanted to just announce one pair. Like I did in Norwalk, I announced one by run, and I ran up, and I think I'm in pretty good shape for a 55-year-old. I got to the top of the steps, and I was like wiped out. And then I got, then they gave me the mic, and I was like, oh my God, I can't talk. That was fun. Thanks.
Well, it was fun. Thank you, Lewis, and I'll see you in Charlotte.
You got it.
We'll be back with more WFO Radio presented by Redline Synthetic Oil from the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals. More to come.
This is WFO Radio.
Q.
Get ready for takeoff, race fans. The NHRA Carolina Nationals are back at CMAX Dragway, September 12th to the 14th. There will be no speed limits. These road rockets fly down CMAX Dragway at 330 miles per hour. All the superstars. Watch Forrest, Brown, and Schumacher push the outer limits of speed. Best of all, kids are free and every ticket is a pit pass. Call 1-800-455-FANS. The NHRA Carolina Nationals, September 12th to the 14th, only at CMAX Dragway.
Red Line Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Red Line has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Red Line motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found in Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials. Known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer, or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the street. That's Redline Oil.
Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
It's just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open, and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist. I don't know where Greg Anderson's ego is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's the newest funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Or visit frankhawley.com.
Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
WFO Radio on location from the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals. Here with Pro Modified winner, Tricky Ricky Smith. You know, Redline Oil was our sponsor for this event. What kind of oil do you use in this Pro Mod machine?
Absolutely Redline Oil. You know, we've been on Redline Oil for probably a good 6, 7, 8 years, you know, and it's definitely saved us a time or two, I'm sure.
Let's talk about this race. This car is awesome. It is brand new. You had a great car that won you a championship. You were getting ready to retire. Now you're getting new cars, new technology. This thing, it's a 69 Camaro, but it's as modern as it gets.
Yeah, we tried to work with Bickle and them over the years, you know. I've been with them a long time and suggest things and, you know, kind of been a test pig sometime, guinea pig, I guess you'd say. But Dishmine up there just builds a heck of a car. He welds up all these frames and stuff. And I know everybody was doubting me about this car, and I done told everybody, look, if it don't perform right, it will not go there. But it ain't a border to run yet. I mean, we had 10 runs on it coming in here. And that car so far is not a border to run yet. So for a nitrous car, that's pretty awesome.
This race, the significance of it, the Chevrolet Performance U.S. National, 60 years. You're a legend in and of yourself, Ricky Smith. But, you know, Garlitz and the Snake and the Mongoose and Bob Glidden and just all this is going on around us. You're trying to run a race. You're trying to win. Your son is out here. Your daughter-in-law is out here. It's just chaos. So much going on, and you were able to persevere, get through, and get the win. Just kind of wrap it up for me. What did you think about this whole event?
Well, it's an awesome event. Like you say, 60 years here. I've been coming here, I don't know, since about 76. And it's just an awesome facility, you know, and this is the spotlight for drag racing, you know, for us. And for IDG and my wife put up me 42 years, and, you know, my family, my son's here, you know, my other daughter, my oldest daughter's married to Scott Speed, and my youngest daughter's married to Brandon Schweitzer, and I just wish sometimes our families were a little bit closer. We got a real good, we've always had a real close family, I know, but we could be a little closer, and I love all my kids.
That is awesome. Ricky, congratulations. A fantastic win, one that will be remembered forever. And you're going in the history books. This car is one for one. Maybe just hang it up perfect. What do you think?
Well, I'm trying to – I want to hang it up this year. I said last year I was, and I'm telling you
– no way.
Without even a doubt. I mean, I'm not even doubting it. If I win this championship, that's the reason I'm trying so hard right now to pull it off again. I want to get it done because – my body just ain't going to stand it no longer. I mean, I've worked myself to death out here for 41 years now. And, you know, I'm a 60-year-old man, and, I mean, I'm not in, you know, I'm in really good health. I'm just saying maybe I could be in better shape. But I just need to take a stretch because I do all of my own calling, you know. I mean, I got guys, good guys that do a lot of the hard work. But I stress myself out awful hard through this thing, trying to pay the bills and keep this deal alive all the time. So I'm ready to walk away. If I pull this championship off, I'm done. Whether I crew chief or anybody else or not, I'm done, man. I'm done. You can count it on you. You put your house on it. If this championship pulls off, I'm done.
Listen, if you win this championship, you have nothing to prove to anyone on the earth, the drag racing community, nothing. Back-to-back Pro Mod championships to end the career as a driver. You know you're going to be hanging out here, helping people, just in the car. That would be fantastic.
Oh, it'd be awesome. You know, I want to stay involved. I love drag racing. I hope somebody will hire me and pay me good money to come and help, you know, bring somebody else along, you know. But, no, I want to stay involved. I just need to get out of the ownership and the driver's seat and enjoy this thing without so much stress on me that way. And, hey, I love this stuff to death. I mean, I don't even know what to say. It's just awesome for the Lord to let me do this as long as he has. All the races and 8 championships I've won, I mean, I talk to God every time I get in that car. Every time. And why he's put up with me, I don't know. But I love him. I trust in the Lord. And we're still here.
Ricky, thank you. Congratulations. Go celebrate.
Thank you.
Here in the winner's circle at the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals with our Lucas Oil Top Alcohol Dragster winner, Chris Demke. Your first U.S. Nationals win. Congratulations.
Thank you very much, Joe. You know, it really hasn't sunk in yet, but I've got the Wally. I got a good feeling. I really won this. It's very surreal, but I don't know how to describe it. It's an incredible feeling.
Very consistent, with exception of the final, which didn't matter because you got... But this car was on a rail.
You know, we ran a string of 32s and 33s through qualifying and eliminations. We were turning one knob, and we'd turn it back and turn another knob on the car, trying to get more performance, and it just seemed to be on some sort of limiter. Finally, in that round against Randy Meyer, we knew we had to go for broke. We turned them all on kill and ripped off that 28, and then I knew we had something to go with.
You were just talking with one of your friends and critical of yourself in the final round. What's that all about? You're the winner, man. Let it go.
You know, I'm not sure what happened. I haven't had a chance to download the computer data yet, but I'm pretty sure I might have screwed up my pedal swap or something like that. And, you know, in that final round, I knew I'd smoked the tires. I wasn't sure what had caused it. I didn't know that my competitor had red lit yet until I got the car stable, and as I headed down track, I saw my win light on the scoreboard, and I realized, hey, I've won this. You know, I knew it before I crossed the finish line, but, you know, it just didn't feel like a win until they put that trophy in my hand, and then I knew it was mine.
Well, the round before, we saw a Top Alcohol Funny car cross the center line, Tigas, cross the center line when his opponent had red lighted, and your opponent red lighted, and then you're off there, and all of a sudden, the Penrite machine is left, it's right, it's all over the place. You were able to get it down through there.
I felt like I bounced off the wall twice and crossed the center line 3 times. I did not know that I had really won it, as I said, because I know the wind light will come on irregardless of whether you cross the center line or not. I didn't know until they waved me over to the cameras that it was really mine. So, you know, hey, it was ugly, but it's mine. It pads my point lead in the national points, and that's what we're really here to do. But Well, no, I'm really here to win the 60th U.S. National. So it's my first, but it's our team's second one. We won it back in 98 with Darren Nicholson driving, but I wanted one for my own, and here we got it.
You mentioned the championship. That is big picture. But this race stands out among all races, and you've won it. But now you've also extended your championship lead. These things, we're coming down to the wire now. It is championship time, and you seem to be comfortable with where this car is going, how to run this car, and you extended your lead against your closest competitors with very few races left to go.
Absolutely. You know, over the past couple of races, we've really learned what this car and this motor combination wants under a variety of conditions, and I'm confident that over the next couple of races, we're going to lock this up. But, you know, I don't want to count my chickens before they hatch. I've been in this position three times before and came up second in the national points, but this is the best it's looked at this point in time, and no, I'm feeling good. These are good times, and I just want to enjoy it. I want to ride this wave while it's cresting.
You deserve to enjoy it. Go enjoy it. Chris Demke, thanks for coming on WFO Radio and taking a little time out of your winner's circle celebration.
Winner chicken dinner.
All right, Adam, enough of that. All right.
Oh, no, we like, that's exactly what we like.
Thank you very much, Joe. It's great to talk to you again.
And from top alcohol dragster to top alcohol funny car, where Jay Payne wins the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals with a Camaro body. For the very first time, congratulations, Jay.
Thank you very much. The Camaro body was awesome.
Obviously, it was a big part of the win. What a day, though. Not the qualifying performance that we sometimes see from you, but you stormed through the field regardless.
Well, we weren't the fastest car here. We were probably the most consistent. But the heavy hitters, they tripped along the way. It was one of these races that we were more lucky than good.
And the check and the trophy looked just the same.
Yep, and 30 years from now, nobody's going to question it.
What about that, this race, the 60th? So 30 years would be the 90th, the staying power of the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals, and all the stuff that you saw going on around you, to be a part of that now permanently having won.
Oh, it's awesome. It's always awesome. You know, when they have a list and you go down the list and you look at who won what race what year, you know, you know when you win, so you always look to make sure they got your name on it. It's kind of cool, and, you know, my kids really dig it.
Now tell me about the final round, getting ready to go up there. Kind of interesting semi-final round, and your opponent had actually red-lighted and got reinserted and just a lot of chaos and craziness. But the bottom line is, you won.
Yes. You know, I don't know exactly what went on the semis, so we raced the final just like the semis.
Very cool. Jay, congratulations. Thanks for taking the time for us on WFO Radio. Go celebrate.
Thank you very much.
The winner's circle has cleared out. And Lucas Oil Raceway is vacant for the first time in probably 10 days. It's amazing how quickly it comes and goes. All the legends, all the racers, the record performances, and then in an instant, it's just over. It was my first from first car down the racetrack to the final pair of the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals, the 60th. It was just tremendous. Obviously, at this point in the weekend, we've done a lot of talking and calling of races and many interviews, and they all blur together. I met some WFO Radio fans in the winner's circle, Harv and Jerry Grimm. These guys, they made friends. Hopefully they'll become friends on Facebook and Twitter. But, folks, there's nothing like this race. It's in the middle of Indianapolis. They're race crazy. They love the cars. And just 800 racers, and to win it, to see the way that the reaction is when people... when they win this race, there's nothing like it. It was tremendous. Now, on this winner's edition, we were unable to catch up with Shane Gray, bolted to the airport, which is a bit of a bummer. But we have this great technology called a telephone, and so we're going to get him on the show next week. Eddie Krawick, that was one that was a real bummer. We missed out on Eddie. Why? You know, they live here. They're going to their house. So to my WFO Radio audience that expects excellence and is probably... you know, a little down on the show right now, thinking, wow, Joe did not get the winners. Fail. What I will say is, don't worry. We'll get them next week. And that's the way we roll. This show is the kind of show that you don't just listen to one. You listen to one week, and then you listen to the next week, and something from the next week will trail into the following week. And so next week, we'll get Eddie Krawick, we'll get Shane Gray, and we'll tie up all the loose ends that we did not cover here. I've got 100 stories. I got to sort them out. I got to figure out how to basically download the information that I have in my head. But I will share one moment as we go out the back door. as we roll out of this racetrack. A moment that, for me, it's probably not going to get much better than. It was Sunday night at the conclusion of the Traxxas Nitro Shootout. I, at this point, do not know how ESPN covered it. All week I was fighting. My voice was gone. It was coming. It was going. It was pretty tough for someone who speaks as opposed to someone who digs a ditch or welds or something. So it's not really tough, but annoying when your voice is going and coming and people looking at you like, well, you know, is it going to be on or off? But it was on at this point. At the top end of the racetrack, John Force wins. John Force, the 16-time champ, the winningest driver ever in NHRA history, the guy who carried the sport from the days of the Snake and the Mongoose and Big Daddy and Shirley until today. And Force wins the Traxxas Nitro Shootout, the second time in his career, his eighth specialty race. And Force gets into the Mellow Yellow Express to be paraded in front of the grandstand. And I am going to interview him in the vehicle while we go in front of the grandstand. Great planning, by the way, by the folks at the NHRA. So I'm sitting in the Mellow Yellow Express. It's a vehicle with the roof cut off where VIPs and dignitaries get the opportunity to get close to the starting line. And they're using it for purposes like this. Well, I'm sitting across from Force, and Force is looking up at the grandstand, and the sun is high in the sky. It is behind the grandstand, shining right down onto his face. And this guy is the Elvis of drag racing. I don't need to be too descriptive because everybody knows who and what John Force means and stands for in the world of motorsports, in the world of drag racing. And he has just achieved a tremendous victory. A tremendous victory. And $100,000 for his team. It's a huge windfall. And he is looking up at the crowd and the sun is shining on his face. And John is looking up and taking it all in. And you could see all these thoughts running through his mind. You could wonder what he was thinking as he enjoyed the fans raining down love upon him. And what was weird is that you could hear, when you're in the tower, you hear the crowd cheer of the crowd, and you think of this roar. When you're that close, you don't hear the roar, you hear individuals saying individual statements. We love you, John. Thank you, John. John, we want to see you again. All kinds of crazy stuff. Just individuals shouting at him. And he's waving, and obviously he stops and gets out and celebrates with the crowd. We do the interview. I turned around and I looked up at the crowd, and I'm looking at them from his perspective, and he's there. I'm almost in the sphere, inside the sphere of John Force for a moment. I wasn't in his body, but I was close enough to understand what he goes through. It was pretty spectacular. And you could see the adoring fans and the crowd, and went up into the winner's circle, and it went on from there. But just a tremendous moment. I got to do the track walk with Snake and Mongoose and ZL1 Camaros. Just interviewed Don the Snake and Tom the Mongoose McEwen. I'm thinking about the days of playing with my Hot Wheels and these guys that were legends. And they were all here. So it was a tremendous event. I had a great time, as you could probably tell. Of course, I like to put things in the greater perspective. But also, I'm telling you these stories to stretch the show out a little bit because I didn't get everybody. It's a little bit of a bummer, but it's all right. People exit this place quick. It has been 6 days, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Boom. And here we are. So that's going to do it, folks. We'll share some more stories. Send in your email questions. Call in the show. The Ignition Show is great. If you're new to this, like you're the new first-time listener, you're like, who is this guy? We have a show. It's on the internet. We have a free app. You should subscribe and listen to it for a few weeks. If after a few weeks you don't like it, I don't know what to say. You don't have to ever listen again. And it's free. The price is right. We've got some great sponsors who sent us out here. I want to thank them. Cameron at Redline Synthetic Oil. Click the banner ad. Order some Redline oil. If you're a car guy, you should have Redline in your car. That's it. That's the way it is. If you're a car guy, you've got some sort of car that is of importance to you, you should have Redline in your machine. Big thanks to Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School, of course, being a very consistent sponsor on WFO Radio. If you want to know why these people are so eaten up by this sport, go to the Dragster Adventure. It's going to be in Reading. I'm going to be in Reading. Go to Reading. Try the Dragster Adventure. Enjoy it. you'll be shocked at the end of the day at how much you love the experience of driving one of these dragsters. That is a fact. And Rodak Coffee and Grills.com. Marvin Rodak, big fan of WFO Radio. Of course, NHRA Drag Racing has the Rodak WFO Radio blend of coffee. Marvin blent a coffee to pay tribute to what we're trying to do here on WFO Radio. That's just unbelievable. You can order some WFO Radio coffee on RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. One of our great sponsors. Click the banner ad on WFO Radio. And the Carolina National ZMAX Dragway, the first race of the countdown. I will be there, too. We're going to do a giant WFO Radio tweet-up. We had one here in the winner's circle. Met a bunch of WFO Radio listeners. They were very, very cool people. Thanks, guys, for saying hi and all the positive things. But what you really can do is get on WFOradio.com, click the banner ad, and get your tickets for the first race of the countdown. Because what has happened here is the regular season has ended, and the playoffs are about to begin. All kinds of transitional thoughts, all kinds of big things going on. This was certainly a special race. I'm watching the NHRA marketing team, by the way, tear down the stage and all of that. Very interesting stuff. These guys are working. A lot of young people on the NHRA marketing team, new to the sport of the drag racing, and they're working their tails off. If they are any indication about the future of the sport, well, the sport is in good hands. And just my own personal thoughts on the race. Alexis DeJoria winning, beating John Force in the final round, outperforming him on the starting line and on the track. Absolutely huge. Star power is what makes anything go in our culture. The American entertainment-driven, media-driven culture. You have to be a breakout star. Alexis has the backing. She's got the sponsor. She's got the personality. She needed a benchmark victory to become a superstar. And this is what she got here today. Couldn't have been on a bigger stage. Couldn't have been against a better opponent. Couldn't have had a better performance. All sides of it. It was tremendous. Alexis DeJoria appears to be in the sport for the long term. Connie Coletta. There's a hybrid of old school, new school going on there. This is the launch of Alexis DeJoria's NHRA Nitro Funny Car career as far as the mainstream public goes. Jesse James, her husband, star power. Her dad, John Paul DeJoria, great on the show. Star power. To break out now in the modern media culture, you need star power. You need something extra. Alexis DeJoria going 300 miles per hour. Her dad, her husband, Connie Coletta, Patron, that is a formidable combination. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. And watch the ride. Richard Crampton, international flavor. The Geico Top Fuel Dragster, Aaron Brooks. That team. Tremendous that they won. Glad we got them on the show. That's going to do it, folks. Thank you very much for listening to our programming. Thanks to the great Giovanni in Miami. While I'm doing announcing stuff, he was basically doing WFO Radio hosting stuff. And he did a great job. So that's going to do it. We'll see you next time. Certainly appreciate it. We'll be back in studio on Wednesday for Ignition. I want to thank you for listening to the show. Obviously, I'm going on and on. I'm doing a John Force, but I want to make sure you get your money's worth on this show. Oh, wait, it's free. That's right. That's going to do it. We'll see you next time. Thanks to everyone. We appreciate it. Thanks for listening to WFO Radio.
WFO!
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.
I love WFO Radio.